To what extent did you work in a team?
Well, teamwork, as it is now, was very important then. And there was a hierarchy, the junior students, senior students, house officers, the registrars and the consultant were in a hierarchy. But in a small place where people know each other, that's fine. You can work together and know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and that's lovely. I do remember the senior sisters on the ward were formidable. They're not quite so formidable nowadays because there's so much more part-time or shared work. But they rule the roost in the ward, and you had to get on with them. There was Lister Ward, which was a surgical ward, and they had a remarkably strict sister who was starched from top to bottom and absolutely had a complete hour's rest for patients, something like 1 to 2. And nobody could go in. And there was an urgent thing that I had to do. I can't remember what it was. I should pretend it was an ill patient. But anyway, I went to see somebody and I got reported to matron. A serious breach of ward rules. So an appointment was made for me to see the matron, and she invited me up for a nice cup of coffee one morning. We had a little chat, but that was a sort of hierarchy that actually went on at the time.
And when did you first encounter patients with diabetes?
The first time that really saw diabetes was when I did the locum as a student on the diabetes firm. Now, of course, in those days, students were allowed to do locums. I'm not sure we got paid. We certainly didn't get paid very much as a house physician. But nevertheless, I did this two-week locum. And that's when you were responsible for diabetes throughout the hospital. You had a list. You had to go round. You had to go look after their insulins and their treatments. And they had a very strict system for anyone coming in with diabetic ketoacidosis that the diabetes team was called to the accident emergency department, started treatment. The patient was moved to the diabetes ward, specific treatment, and with a set protocol. And I think the protocol actually was very good. I can't remember it. But one of the great difficulties in managing patients, both the emergencies and the routine, was the doing of blood glucoses. Well, blood sugars, strictly speaking, because in those days you took the capillary blood and during the working hours the lab technicians did it, but out of hours it was the house physician's job. And so in the evenings and weekends you had this list of people you had to go around bleeding, taking capillary blood, if I remember rightly. But you then had to take it to the lab where you had to do a sort of 20-minute bit of cookery, Folin and Wu reaction. And it was a spectroscopic comparison of a glucose standard against the, I think it was deprotonized blood you had to prepare. And you had to compare these two blue colors down the microscope and decide what the blood sugar level was. When you compare that, and that's one of the absolutely amazing transformations, the making it a micro glucose measurement on 2 or 3 microliters of blood in a 2 or 3 almost microseconds, well, 2 or 3 seconds, on a portable little meter. Now, that revolution, of course, hadn't hit as a house physician. And when you look back at the house physician, house surgeon timing of time of how you fill the day, well, no wonder you were busy, because you actually had very labor intensive jobs to do and you were not given the help that you now get.
Looking back on comparing those colors, how useful was that?
Oh, it was still a useful blood glucose, blood sugar measurement, because because teaching patients, you still taught the urine testing. There was no home blood glucose testing. There's no self-testing. But the hospital results were actually very important. And further on, when I